In a series entitled Stretched, and I've been talking about how God uses stretching points in our lives to change us, to challenge us, that God speaks to us in those times when we're feeling like I'm just being pulled. And so last week we talked about interruptions in life and how interruptions are opportunities in disguise that God speaks to us through. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 19, and if you would read it audibly with me, Exodus 14 and verse number 19. We're only going to read a few verses from this chapter. Let's read together. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. I want to preach this morning. My subject is creating separation. Creating separation. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me, then I'll let you be seated. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for everything that we've experienced thus far in the service. And Lord, I pray that you will take your word and let it challenge each one of us. Let it speak to us. Lord, that you would be glorified and that your name would be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Now, in our series, we've been looking at how God uses the uncomfortable stretching times in our lives to speak or to direct, to work in our lives. This morning, I want to talk about how God will use times of separation in our lives to challenge our thinking, to inspire our faith. It's kind of interesting, as I was planning what I was going to be speaking about each Sunday and hadn't really made the connection, but this week I've been away all week, and my wife didn't go with me, and I was at a conference, and she decided not to go. And so the first evening that I was there, I got in about 10 o'clock, got to the hotel about 11. That was okay. That wasn't too bad. My meetings, we started around 8 in the morning, and we finished up around 10, so that wasn't too bad, 10 at night, and that wasn't too bad. And then the next day, we started at 7 in the morning, and we finished up around 2 in the afternoon because there was service that night. And, you know, I don't know how to describe myself, but I just get lonesome. Brother Mark Noel, he's going to be here next Sunday. He was staying with me. And so it wasn't like I was all by myself. But by Wednesday, I knew my flight wasn't until Saturday. But by Wednesday, I was just ready to call the airline and say, I don't care what you charge me, I'm going home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we've only been married a short time. It'll be 30 years next year. And, you know, I don't, that separation. And so I was in the midst of a crowd just wishing, that I was back home again. And, you know, it wasn't so much Montreal. I told my wife in the middle of the week, I said, next year, you are going. After I did that, I remember that last year I said, next year, I just never learn. Separation. Our scripture today is about when Israel was leaving Egypt. And they had been a nation that had been enslaved for over four centuries. It was not a great life that they had there. They're coming out of something that was frustrating, but they're going into something that was unfamiliar. And if there is one thing that we don't like as people most of the time, it's change. Change. You know, I read a story, but it actually has happened, that a new pastor came into a church and he decided that the piano needed to move from one side of the church to the other to better function. And so he talked to a wise elder, because there are all kinds of landmines you can step on if you're not careful. And he talked to a wise elder and he said, I want to move the piano from one side to the other. And the old elder said, well, you don't want to do it just tomorrow. He said, because if you do it, you're going to have a problem. Because people get attached, I'm not moving the piano, by the way, we already did that, get attached to it being there, and putting it over there next week is just going to cause a problem. So he said, what you need to do is move it an inch at a time. 1 inch at a time. We don't like change. You know, as much as we've been changing things around here, I'm sure that there are some things that some of you who are here today that you look at and you say, I just really don't like that. I wouldn't have done it that way. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that one. I don't even want. But Israel was coming out of Egypt. They were leaving the familiar and they were going into the unknown. And even though the familiar was slavery, there was still something about it. It was frustrating. It was hard on them. But moving into the future was different. And they were dealing with the tension between the familiar and the new. And God works in that tension that we feel. You see, dealing with the pressure of what was uncomfortable was all they knew. That was their normal. Get up in the morning, go build a pyramid, go build a treasure city, make bricks, carry bricks, work hard, get paid very, very, very little. That was their normal. Now they're coming out of Egypt. Now there is no more Egyptians to lord it over them. Now there is no more demands. There are no more whips. They're going into God's future. And they're going into something that was preferable, but that was perplexing in their lives. It was something different, something new. And there is a challenge if you are a follower of Jesus, that Jesus leads you into something new. He leads you into something new when you're born again, when you first have a relationship with Him. Your life changes. But He continually leads us into new places. He leads us into new paradigms and He leads us into new understandings. And sometimes we are challenged by where I have been that keeps me back from moving into where God wants me to be. Change. You know, I can tell you, I get set in my routines. And, you know, sometimes my family, they don't understand. You know, I buy one brand of shoes because I like them. It's not that I'm set in my ways. I had a half day to go shopping while I was away, and so I went out with a bunch of the guys, and I looked at shoes, and they had a great deal on them, and I looked at them and said, it's got the wrong name on it, so forget that, it's not mine. You know? I like my one brand of toothpaste. Anybody else, you have one brand you like? You know, one brand of body wash, one type of bread. Change, you know. And then we were buying this bread at Costco. You're probably wondering, why on earth is he telling me about his bread? Let me tell you my sad tale of woe. You see, the doctor told me that I had to eat twigs and seeds. Some of you have been there, you've had that, you know, you got to eat twigs and seeds and nothing that's good. And so you try to find things that are good. So I found this one type of bread that was really good, had the necessary twigs and seeds in it. And, you know, it was everything the doctor ordered for bread. And so I started, we bought it. And every week we would go to Costco and buy this bread. And then, you know, Costco, how many of you shop at Costco? Anybody shop at Costco? Okay, the thing about Costco is sometimes you go and it's there and sometimes you go and it's not there. That's nasty. It's wrong. And so there were a couple of times with my bread that I had a scare because it wasn't there. And I had to make do with this other inferior product. Now you say, Pastor, you're a little weird because bread's not that important. Well, you know, different strokes. And so they brought it back again. I was like, yes, this is wonderful. And then, so every week we go and buy bread and it's great. It's my normal. This is good stuff. And then we went one week and they didn't have it. I said, well, it's not, don't panic because they didn't have it before. We'll, you know, make do. And then we went the next week and they didn't have it. And it's like, well, this is really strange. This is bad. And went the next week and they didn't have it. And this is really strange. And this is bad. And then I finally had to settle in my heart that they were not bringing it back. And you say, Pastor, it's only bread. It's not a tragedy. There are a lot worse things. I know that. But I want to make a point. And so even now, when I go to Costco, it was in an orange-colored bag. And so I still walk in hope. I go down the bread aisle, and I'm looking. Like, maybe this will be the day that they bring it back. And there are other breads that are, I know they're just as good, but it's not the same. Because we don't like change. And yet God wants to change not just what we eat. He wants to change our internals, the way that we think, to be like Him. And if we struggle with little things in our lives, sometimes there's a huge challenge when God stretches us and says, I want to separate you from what is comfortable within your life and what you've gotten used to. I want to separate you from that because I've got a greater purpose for you. God challenges us and He separates us from things that are familiar in order to work in our lives and bring us to a better thing. But that brings us to a problem. And that is, number one, we have separation anxiety. Separation anxiety. You know, little children have it when they get dropped off at daycare. Parents have it when they drop their child off for the first day of school. We get anxious about being apart because the process of separation can be painful. And when God calls us to leave behind the familiar patterns and the familiar habits and the familiar ways we do things to move into His better, that process can be painful. When God creates separation in our lives, we need to recognize it so we can receive and step into the new thing that God is doing within our lives. You see, when you first become a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that old things are passed away and all things become new. I want you to think back to when you first came to know the Lord. Now, some of you were brought up going to church and you say, well, it's not so well defined. But that day you really got serious about living for God. That day when, if you weren't brought up going to church, when you had a personal experience with God and your life was changed, and all of a sudden you began to look at life differently. You know, All of a sudden, you're just using your normal, natural language that you used to use every day. And all of a sudden, it's like you hear yourself and it's like, whoa, that doesn't seem right anymore. Anybody had that experience? You've had that experience? You know, all of a sudden, it's like you weren't even thinking about it, but all of a sudden, it changed. The way that you think changes. The way that you act changes. Conversion is about changing from going in one direction and to going in God's direction, which is completely different. And in the process, there's a new direction, a new purpose, a new life that comes. And over time, God deals with us about patterns in our lives, about things in our lives. He deals with us about patterns of our thoughts. He deals with us about lifestyle issues. He deals with us about relationship patterns. He deals with us about those things that have been our familiar go-to things. He deals with us about them. And He challenges us to leave them behind for His new better. But that creates a type of separation anxiety in us. What if I step into God's change and it's not better? How will I respond? What will I do? What if the new doesn't work as well as the old? And that's where Israel was at. But God uses the separations in our lives to prepare us. There are some times that God will bring a person into your life for a specific time, but there are other times that God will take somebody out of your life. There are some times that God will cause you to be in a certain situation, but then there are other times, and you'll be saying, I am so blessed, there are other times that God will take that away because there's something He wants to teach you. Moses had a high tolerance for separation. See, there were several stages of separation in the life of Moses before he came to lead the Israelites, and every one of them prepared him. As a baby, he was separated from his mother. He was separated from his people in Pharaoh's house. When he had to leave Egypt on the run, he was separated from Egypt and taken into the land of Midian. Then he is minding his own business, tending sheep, comes to the burning bush, and God speaks to him, and God begins to separate him from his weaknesses and his excuses. And sometimes God has to separate us from those. You remember? God is speaking to him supernaturally. He knows it's God. God speaks to him and says, I want you to lead my people Israel. And what does Moses do? He says, well, God, I am not strong enough, and I don't speak well enough. And I have all these reasons why I can't do it. And God had to separate him from the comfort of his excuses. And you might be here today and God has been working in your life, but you settled into a pattern of excuses for why life could never change. Why it always must be the same. Well, that's the way my mom was. That's the way my dad was. That's the way all my family, we have this trait, and that's the way it is. Or that's the way my past has been, and so that's the way my future has got to be. But no, when Jesus came, He didn't come to leave us like we were, but He came to break those things and those habits and those chains and to say that with Him all things are possible. He brings separation. Separation. Then Moses was separated from Midian as he went back into Egypt. And then he separated from Egypt again as he took the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And because of these things, Moses was uniquely prepared to lead Israel. Things that God had done. Separations that he had been through, and each one of those was painful. But God was at work to shape him. And if we're going to be effective in our calling that God has for us, it means we not only embrace the blessing, but we embrace the separations that God brings within our lives as He works to create our distinctive features. Think of Ruth. If you're not familiar with Ruth, she has a whole book of the Bible named after her. She was not an Israelite, she was a Moabite. A woman named Naomi and her husband and her sons went down into Moab because there was a famine in Israel. And the two sons married two women, Ruth and Orpah. The sons died. Naomi's husband died. Naomi became bitter. She actually was so bitter, she recognized it. You know you're really bitter when you recognize you're really bitter. She said, I'm going back. And when I go back, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter. For the Lord has dealt harshly with me. As she's packing up, getting ready to go back to Israel, now a widow, no sons, her two daughter-in-law said, Mama Naomi, we're going to go with you. And Naomi said, No, you turn around and go back. You don't need to come with me. You need to find husbands among your own people, and you need to stay here. You don't need to come with me. And Orpah turned around and went back. But Naomi said, Mama, your God's going to be my God, and your people are going to be my people. And we talk about the tremendous commitment that Ruth had to follow Naomi and come down into Israel to leave her people, her family, everything that was familiar. But we never talk about what it cost her to do it. When Naomi said, I'm going to follow you and your people are going to be my people, your God is going to be my God, it meant she was leaving her family, she was leaving her culture, she was leaving everything that was familiar to her to go with Naomi. It was a separation. But God was in it. For you see, God was working. And Naomi would come down to Israel. She would find a brand new life. But not only that, she would become an ancestor of Christ in His family tree. But it cost her something. There was a separation that was created from the old life into the new. When God spoke to Abraham, He said, Abraham, you got to leave your homeland, Ur of the Chaldees, and you're going to go out to a country that I'm going to show you. It's a promised land. Abraham had to step out in faith. He left everything that was Ur behind him. All the comforts, all the friends, all everything. Because he heard the voice of God say, come and follow me. When you make a decision to truly begin to follow Jesus, it creates separation. It doesn't mean that you ignore your family. It doesn't mean that you walk away from everybody. But it does cause a separation because there will be times that your decision will be different from everybody else's decision. I know some of you have gone through that this week. That your attitude will be different than everybody else around you. That your morals will be different. Your sense of honesty and right and wrong will be different. And that by itself will create separation. You see, the Bible teaches us that we're to love everybody. But there are sometimes decisions and sometimes lifestyle changes that you make that cause separation within your life. And we need to realize that in that separation, God is forming us and God is challenging us as He works within our lives. Sometimes God removes the crutch. That thing or person that we've been depending on to prop us up. And we've been counting on that they'll be there to hold me up. Sometimes you have to be by yourself to realize that with God's help you can make it. Don't get me wrong, I believe it. We're in a community of believers and everybody holds everybody else up and we help each other. But there are some times that God creates separation within our lives to show us that we have an inner strength that we can reach down into and grab hold of with His help that will bring us through when nobody else can. When God created the world, one of the first things He did was He spoke and He separated the light from the darkness. And God does that within our lives. Let me take you to a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Peter's speaking to believers, and he writes about how others are acting. He said, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, and this is New Living. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness, that's sin. He called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. But notice verse 10, he goes on, he says, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. He said, God brought you out of your Egypt. God brought you out of that place and into a new place. But there's change. There's separation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, the apostle wrote about a list of sins. He said, those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then in verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. But you are sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That word sanctification there, it means set apart. It means separated. Jesus separates the things that we were in our lives before from the way that we are now. He sets us apart. That process, and it's a process, begins when you first come to Jesus, and it continues until you take your last breath on this earth. God works. The Holy Ghost continues to chip away in our lives to shape us into the image of God, to shape our thoughts, to shape the way that we are, to shape our lifestyles, to reflect the glory of God in the earth. That's a challenge. I was looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul said, and he's speaking to believers, he said, wherefore come up from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He said there's a line of separation. There are things that if you're a believer that you're not going to touch in the culture. Not because somebody is looking over your shoulder, but because you want to glorify God. And that in that change that Jesus brings within our lives, that there is a separation, a widening between the believer and the culture. You see, God's purpose for the church is not that we would fit into the culture around us, but that the church is a countercultural movement that says this is the purpose of God in the earth. That's separation. That's change. I was looking at Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite scriptures, but one of the most challenging in the Bible too. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said, and this is New Living on the screen, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. That's your body. When you give your body to God, it means along with everything else that pertains to you, you give it all to God. But notice he doesn't just say abstractly, give it all to God. He said, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Give it all to God. When you give it all to God, you are taking it all from somewhere else. There's a separation. But notice verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. There are going to be a lot of behaviors, a lot of customs that Christians won't follow. Why? Because we're better? No, because we've been changed. Not because we want to look down our noses at anybody, but because Jesus is working to shape us to be like Him. He goes on, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Change does not begin simply with trying to say, I'm going to keep these rules. Change begins when God begins to work between your ears. Separation begins between your ears. Because when your mind begins to change, when the fruit of the Spirit begin to grow in your life, all of a sudden, when it was so easy to give a person a piece of your mind for nothing, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is there saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about now. He said, He will change the way that you think. And then you will learn God's will for you. God stretches us to separate us. When Israel was coming out of Egypt, and I don't have time to finish this morning, but when Israel was coming out of Egypt, God's concern was not only to get them out of Egypt, God's concern was to get Egypt out of them. One of the big, and by Egypt, it wasn't the nationality, it was the culture that was against God. One of the greatest challenges that Israel faced, even when they came into the promised land, God provided miraculous things for them. He brought them through the Red Sea, feeds them. There's all kinds of things happening. And the first thing that goes wrong, Israel is saying, we want to go back into Egypt. Because we had garlics and onions and leeks. We had spices that we don't have now. And every time I read that and every time I think about it, I'm thinking, but you were slaves. And if you go back into Egypt, you're going to be slaves again. Now you're free. Now you're blessed, but you want to go. And you know what? Sometimes I hear Christians and they talk about, this is what it was like before I got saved and this is what happened. And it's almost like, oh, if I could just go back. But remember, you came out of that mess. God changed you. He separates you from it to bring you into His blessing. As we stand together this morning, separation. He challenges us. You might be here this morning and you're on the fence about Jesus. It's time to let the cross bring separation from your old life, from your past, and to let Jesus bring you into His new life. You know, I know I'm speaking to somebody here this morning. You pardon me if I seem just a little bit blunt, but I felt just impressed. I'm speaking to somebody here today that you used to be separated from sin in your life and from ungodliness, but you've let your friends, you've let yourself, you let the enemy convince you that it's okay to get drugged back into that mess again. And you never thought you'd get very far in. You never thought it would affect your life at all. But now it's complicated and you're in over your head. But God sent a preacher to talk to you today, to challenge you that God works to bring you out so that He can bring you into His kingdom. That God challenges you to make a decision not to ride the fence. And that decision will often involve separation. And this morning, I've come to challenge somebody. I've come, I don't even know who it is. I just felt so strongly impressed. I was sitting in the airport in Philadelphia, and I was going over my notes, and I was just getting finalized for today, and I felt like God spoke to me sitting there in that cafeteria area. And there's going to be somebody here today that God's reaching for you to pull you back. And nobody else may even know about it here, but God's reaching for you today. I don't know who you are. I just know that when God speaks to me like that, there's a reason, there's a purpose, and there's somebody that God's trying to reach for. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. We're going to have an altar call. We're going to have a prayer time. But there's somebody here today that God's calling you back. And he sent a preacher to tell you that you might be in over your head, but God can always reach further down than you ever thought. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence here right now. I thank you for your touch. Lord, I've delivered what you gave to me as best as I could. Lord, I pray right now that your Spirit would speak into hearts. I pray, Lord Jesus, that every facade, every wall that gets erected and built would be torn down. And Lord, that every stronghold, Lord, every bit of stubbornness and fear would be dissolved right now because you're speaking and you're moving in lives and hearts. Lord, I pray that what takes place right now will not just be of the flesh, but it'll be supernatural. That, Lord, even now, that you'll be working internally in lives and hearts. Lord, as you call us back to you and you call us ever closer to you, and Lord, you use those separations in our lives to shape us and mold us. Lord, I pray for that person that's counting the cost right now. And Lord, I pray that you will speak. God, I pray you'll just move right now. Lord, that your voice will be heard, and that your Spirit will be felt. Jesus, I pray it now in the name above every name. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a sweet presence of God here right now. God's speaking. God's drawing. I'm going to open this altar for prayer. Before we sing, before we do anything else, I'm going to open this altar for prayer. I feel like God is speaking, God is moving. And as believers come, as we join together in prayer, I want to invite you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't really have a relationship with Jesus right now, but I feel something happening in my heart. I want Jesus. I want to invite you. I know that that aisle seems awful long sometimes, but I want to invite you to step out of your seat and come down here to pray. I want to pray with you because Jesus is here to touch your life right now. And they're going to sing, but I want us to find a place to talk to Jesus. Let Jesus talk to you today. Let's move out of our seats. Let's find a place to pray. Would you come? Would you let Jesus speak into your life today?